Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will. When the wind blows a virgin child's gone, sing a song, such a pretty melody never heard before.
Pour one out. The dream is dead. Travis Sasha is in Smash, but as a Picasso. I mean, I'll take this monkey's paw of a wish, but I'm not happy. I'm not happy at all.
So you're saying you have fury? I see.
I was hoping that you were just going to play that song. I don't know what that was, but by the way, I'm going to speak for, I think, 90% of our audience. And I just was going to, like, just like then Todd would say, and Tellius Tyler is also here.
Yeah, I was going to give a little chance. I mean, he was playing Elvis, I think. So.
No, it actually was in No More Heroes, the first game.
Oh, of course it was.
I figured that's what it was.
I was distracted by the voice and the talk of virgins, so I was just like, what song is this?
So. If you've seen No More Heroes, you know it's, again, it's Suda 51. It's crazy, so you should know.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, and also Tellius Tyler is here. He's back.
It just seemed like such a grand intro for just like for it being Will. You know, it's Will, and here's some opera to get you fired up for the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
Opera?
It sounds like opera.
That's more like a show.
You're right. It wasn't opera, but it was close. It was like light opera, you know? Like
no, that's something. The guy was actually performing in a stadium. So, yeah, it's more of a baseball stadium song.
You can perform opera in a stadium.
Yeah, that wasn't really a baseball stadium. Song.
Hello? Have you not seen Animaniacs? Hello?
Eh.
Slappy Squirrel went to war with an opera singer in a baseball stadium. It's a fact.
So I was out last week, and of course I picked a bad week to be out.
Yeah.
Smash reveal.
Yep.
But I listened to the show, and there were some things that were said that I am really confused by, and mainly it's my bonus with you, of course, Todd.
Oh.
In what world does Steve not belong in Smash, but Terry Bogard does?
Because
I just want to see where the line is.
Okay, I'll give you the line. Terry Bogard is a staple of the fighting game community, even if you don't want to admit it. And he's actually a character that you can reasonably say, oh yeah, I'd put him in a fighting game like Smash Brothers. Minecraft and Minecraft Steve are a staple of the video game community, especially in the modern generation that we are living. But you cannot tell me that you look at Steve and go, oh yeah, I'd put him in Smash Brothers in a fighting game.
Yes, okay, so... And this goes to the you recognized this last week.
I did,
but you didn't want to like concede it, but you definitely recognized it. Like, look at the roster. Like,
yeah.
Mr. Game and Watch, they made a fighter in Smash Bros. And you couldn't reasonably look at him and say he'd be in. After watching the reveal trailer or the Sakurai breakdown, I don't know if you watched it or not. Did it change your mind at all?
Time.
Okay, because his moveset seems really cool. Like, it's very creative. I, at first, was, like, not surprised. Like, everybody was, like, surprised. And Steve had been rumored for, since before the original launch.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
in the early leaks,
Steve
was, yeah. So it wasn't shocking to me. Also, everybody who didn't know it was Steve, the minute Mario got kicked into that other room, what are you doing? Wake up, open your eyes. It was clearly Steve. Anyway, that point aside.
I don't play Minecraft, so I was focusing on Mario. Then I see the red eyes behind him. I'm not thinking zombies from Minecraft.
Yeah, but the way the blocks broke, and
I didn't
how
see the blocky
it was.
I know what you're talking about, that still image of him in the blocky pattern, but I wasn't looking at the blocks.
Yeah.
I was looking at Mario. Because I'm like, who is going to come out and attack Mario? I'm thinking, like, I'm going through all the franchises in my head. Okay, who's in a dark room? Who's got monsters in the background? They've already done Simon Belmont, and he was in a castle. So it's just like, who was left?
Yeah.
I didn't think Steve, and like I noted in the podcast last week, I was very, very angry because I'm like, this is not what we deserve.
Yeah, I mean, And that's true. When I watch the trailer, I think it's very different than when a lot of people watch the trailer, because I'm always just like, I'm looking for every clue. You know, I don't watch it like it's a movie. I'm like, just, even though I'm going to know who the character is in like 5 seconds, I'm still just like, oh man, what is that? What is that? Who is it going to be?
Right,
trying to
right,
figure
right,
it out.
Right, right, right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I first I was like, this isn't what I wanted, because it wasn't what I wanted. But it was like, okay, this was rumored. I'm not upset. I'm not surprised. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, this is a no-brainer, excellent addition to Fast. Like, Banjo-Kazooie is the character that I wanted more than anything. Erdrick from the hero from Dragon Quest was just brilliantly done. Joker was very cool, not necessarily iconic, but one of the best games out there, Persona 5, so he was great as well. But, and I love Byleth, of course. To me, Steve is probably the third best DLC character that they put in.
Gosh.
I would put Banjo above him and Hero above
him. No. He's dead last.
I just don't see it. This Minecraft is like the biggest game ever.
And that's fine. But where's Tetris? Tetris is the biggest game ever. Was the biggest game ever. Where's the Tetris block character? Come on! Where's the Tetris level? Where's the Tetris Mii costume, Tyler? Where's the line, Tyler?
The line is that Tetris doesn't have a character that could fight. Minecraft does have characters that can fight. You can fight in Minecraft. It's just not, you know, a super in-depth fighting mechanic, but neither is fighting like that in Duck Hunt. Neither is a Game & Watch. Like, Ice Climbers, go down the list. The moveset that they have for Steve is super creative, and to add a character like that, a game like that, that so many young kids in particular love into Smash Bros, it's a slam dunk, brilliant move. Like, the internet literally broke because people were so excited about it. They couldn't have picked a better character.
Yes, they
like,
totally
from the
could have.
From the perspective of, they couldn't have picked a better series. To bring in is a great decision. I disagree. You haven't made an argument that sells me on why. Besides, you don't like it.
I had an argument all last week, Tyler. I'm giving you the chance to talk. I'm just also voicing my own opinion of your how you're wrong.
you keep interrupting me. No, but and I heard your opinion last week. But I pointed out, I think the arguments that you're making are flawed. There's definitely logical incongruencies there. And I understand not liking the character. I do, because I didn't want Steve in the game either. Like, there's so many characters. I would much rather have Dixie Kong in Smash Bros. Much rather have Dixie Kong. But when you look at what Minecraft has done in the gaming space, it's just... And Smash Bros. The ultimate celebration of gaming? Yes, of course. Of course. I mean, even if it was like an assist trophy, that'd be sweet. If it was just a stage, that would be sweet too. But to have the character in there as well, I think it's awesome. And I don't think there's a logical argument to be made for why it's not a good decision. Besides, you know, not liking it, but that's not a logical argument.
Okay, anyway, on to the show. So, got a lot to talk about today. And yes, we're going to be talking more about Steve. But of course, we're going to all start off with, what have you been playing? I'm going to go first, because wait for it, I haven't been playing much. So, every time I think I'm going to have a free weekend, my job just come and go, hey Todd, here's a bunch of scripts for you to write. And like today, I literally was timing out everything like to the minute, because I had to get a lot done. I still have a lot to get done after the podcast. Not the least of which is because Supernatural came back tonight, and I have to watch the episode I taped. So... my only thing I've been playing, honestly, is Fire Emblem Heroes, which, of course, had a brand new banner come out today in the 2020 Halloween banner. And they have no shame now for a different reason, because I can honestly say that this Halloween banner had no one like revealing outfits, thank God. But they decided to just dump this banner onto one of the most regal, stoic, and BA kings in all of Fire Emblem. They turned King Degensia into like a candy hoarding dragon. Like, how? Why? And Tyler originally was like, it was fine with this. I'm like, this is where you have it. Like, you were mad at everything else. Like, what about
No,
Grima
that's not.
Being
That's
a bell dragon, and now she's just a
you
candy
read that
dragon.
wrong. Totally read that wrong. I didn't mean that in that way at all. I just meant it was funny to me that like Dehintia was where you drew the line, where Grima's like literally the incarnation of evil, dressing up as a werewolf and playing Halloween. Like, to me, it was not that you were wrong. I totally agree with you, but. Yeah. Robin was worse.
I gave up on Robin after the swimsuit banner. I mean, and they've done like as many possible weird things with Robin, male and female, as possible. So like that
was the point of what I was saying.
That
was just like
sailed.
It's so funny that we're just like whatever. Like that's normal now. But
That ship has sailed. Robin's doomed. But like, what is this now? Like our 10th Robin or something between the males and the females?
It feels like that, but I think there's only seven.
But there is. We have the actual Dragon King, all right, of Teleus, and he's a candy hoarding dragon. His line is, "I will accept your candy as tribute." I'm like, what? Like, first of all, Degancia don't eat candy, all right? Let's just be honest with ourselves here. Even if there was sweets on Teleus, which I'm sure there were of some kind, there is no way that Degancia would eat it, all right? No way. Not even close. And this is how they choose to introduce him as a Halloween banner character? Now, there were cases where first-time characters showed up in the other banners where it was kind of okay, like Charlotte, with the original June Brides. That one kind of made sense because that went into her character of originally being a gold digger until you marry her off and then she gets better, which is kind of, I don't really think about it, but we're going to have to get into that. But like that made sense because that was at least tied to the character. This is a stoic dragon king who preached neutrality, who was willing to die for his goddess even if he was wrong because he refused to make a mistake a second time in his mind, and yet now you have him as a candy-craving dragon king, or Halloween dragon, or however you want to call it. I'm like, really? Like, you couldn't have picked anybody else? And then Aina is our Tempest Trials character. I'm like, that's not much better. I mean, where's Nasir? Let's just do the Dragon Trinity. Why not? I mean, you've done everything else. So, like, not bitter. Not bitter at all.
I will say, devil's advocate just for a second, I summoned Dehintia, and he doesn't want the candy for himself. He likes to give the candy
lucky
to the kids. He gives the candy out to the kids because they remind him of his own kids. So that's at least there's that.
Okay, so he's not an entire candy hoarding dragon. I can appreciate that. But he still should not have been in this banner. He should have been in his full form. They could have done the full. There's a banner right there in just the four dragons. Degancia, Nasir, Kirthnaga, and Aina. Boom. The dragon family. Da 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 da. No. The dragons from Goldoa, they never make a show.
TOS, we gotta get copyrighted.
Yeah, whatever. It's called Law of Parody, Will. I've done worse, trust me. I once made a parody of a Digimon song for a video game, and I totally didn't get copyrighted, I think. So, like, there was a banner right there. You could have the dragon family as your next brand new banner, have them in their full regality, and instead you have Degancia and Aina as candy creatures. And yet I still play. Oh, well.
I mean, I have no knowledge of the prior titles, but I just gotta say, like, I actually just did some research on the voice lines as well. Yeah, Degancia was, again, the more regal type, and just, again, he just basically screams daddy material, if anything else.
Not really.
Like, funny enough, he is actually the same voice actor as Tibarn, if you can tell. Yeah,
I did not.
And overall, like, just hearing it on the banners of this thing. I mean, again, with Halloween banners, you really shouldn't take it through them. But again, to each his own. And with Robin. I just gotta say, Grima, Fellow Dragon Grima in a werewolf costume and her lines. Oh my god, how tsundere can you be? Like, if you know the lines, you know what I'm talking about. But basically, she is so like, I am the Fellow Dragon Grima, and I am not enjoying this. It's just... Once you listen to the voice line, you can tell. But this banner, it's again, it's a Halloween thing. I don't know. Maybe just because I don't have the history of Fire Emblem in my head, so it doesn't really go to, offend me too much. Because again, it's just in good fun for my intelligent systems. But I get ya if you want to be don't be whole character assassination on this day, because again, you were expected the Dragon King to be more stoic instead of just going for candies and Halloween. But again, it's the Harvest Festival. Who would know? Again, it's just my opinion.
I'm just gonna move on. Tyler, what have you been playing?
Better question is, what haven't I been playing, Todd?
Okay, what haven't you been playing?
Well, I haven't been playing Xenoblade. So, I have been playing a lot. Let's start with Super Mario 35. That came out, I believe, last week. I started playing that. It's the 35th. It's the Battle Royale Mario game, where you basically start on the first level and you run to the end and then you start another level and you send enemies just like you'd send Tetris blocks in Tetris 99. It's okay. It's fun because in the way that playing the original Mario Bros. Is fun, it's still a good game. It's still enjoyable to play today. The Battle Royale mechanics, unfortunately, don't really work. When this was first announced, my concern was that it was going to feel cheap. Like, in Tetris 99, you'll get whacked by a ton of if somebody hits a Tetris, you're getting four lines before you can even blink, and that's how you get knocked out. In this, I was afraid it was going to be a similar, unreactable scenario where somebody sends a Goomba at you, and the Goomba just, lands on your head, and then you get hit, and it wouldn't be fun that way. Instead, that doesn't happen at all. Instead, they give you, too much time in advance to prepare for what's coming. The enemies will, spawn further up on the map. And if you're good at Mario Bros, I've played Super Mario Bros, the original game, I couldn't tell you how many times. It's a stupid number, and it's embarrassing that I've played it that many times. So I can beat these levels pretty much with my eyes closed. It's nothing. And I'm not alone in that. There's a lot of players out there who have spent an equally embarrassing amount of time playing that game and can also just run through these levels no problem. So games take 15 minutes. 15 minutes is not an exaggeration. Pretty much every round, it's me and two other people just running back and just running to the end of the stage as fast as possible and hoping that somebody gets a bad level because the castle levels are tight. So if somebody doesn't have a fire flower on them and you can send a Bowser, then maybe they'll get stuck and can't do anything and die. But generally speaking, there's always a way around the obstacles. To make that worse, so you can collect coins, of course. If you collect 20 coins, you can buy a power-up. And there's four power-ups, a mushroom, a fire flower, a star, and a pal block. Pal block clears the screen off of all enemies and sends them to other people. Star, it makes you invincible. You know what the others do anyway. It only costs 20 coins to hit that. So after playing these stages for 10 minutes, and it's not even they go in order, you'll play world 1-1 15 times a round, and you can you play that level over and over and over and keep building up your coin count. You'll have 600 coins. So even if you're in a bad situation, you can usually just keep hitting that item box until you get the one that you need, which is pretty much anything but a mushroom is going to be good. So that's really where the game has its biggest issues right now. There's some stuff that they can do to clean it up. The attacking options, for one, they seem to be focused on prolonging the round rather than ending them. So you can attack the person with the least amount of time, which you would think is great. They have not a lot of time. They'll be stressed out when the enemies come. Unfortunately, it's really easy to kill enemies in the original Mario Bros. And every time you kill an enemy, they gain time. So you're just giving people a lifeline 90% of the time when you're attacking them. You're like, oh, thank you. I'll take the extra time. They need to get rid of that. They need to replace attacking the person with the most coins with the person with the least coins. Because if you don't have a lot of coins and you can't hit that item box, and if you get in trouble, now you're actually in some hot water. It's still, it's enjoyable. If you like the original Mario, it's fun. Give it a run. You'll probably just start playing the game again because it's probably a better way to play it. It's just how it originally started. Good news, though, the internet connectivity works very well. I've really never had any issues in that regard, so it's all right. I don't hate it. I don't love it. Just like everything else with the Mario's 35th anniversary, it's fine, but you wish it could have been a little bit better. So that's the first thing I've been playing. The second thing I've been playing is Final Fantasy VII. I downloaded that a couple months back, actually, and I figured I would just play it at some point, and that moment arrived. I thought, oh, let me give it a whirl. And it's really weird. Like, this is like an all-time iconic game. So I bought it thinking, I'm a gamer. I should have played Final Fantasy VII by now. But like Super Mario 64 is also a game that all gamers should play. And going back to Final Fantasy VII and going back to Super Mario 64, it's just like night and day. And I don't mean that in the fact that they're entirely different games. I mean, Super Mario 64 has aged really well. Final Fantasy VII has not aged so well. There's some really cool stuff, and you can see how groundbreaking it would have been in the 90s with like the movie cut-ins that are really pretty well done, and like the scope of the story, and it's really intense in the 3D and the characters. It's a hideous game, but I'm sure it looked really cool back in the day. Unfortunately, like, none of it has really aged that well. The battle system is all right. Tifa Will is hilarious. When she wins a battle and she stretches, it is hysterical. It cracks me up, makes me think of you every time. She just like pushes her chest out.
It is pretty exaggerated back in the day, granted.
It's so exaggerated. It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's. I actually commented on how when they made the Tifa model for a remake, people noticed that she wasn't as, how do I say this nicely, well-rounded.
It was quite the base.
She's still like pretty.
Oh, I know that, but people noticed that she didn't look as exaggerated as her original model. And it's like, we were trying to be a little more realistic this time. And I'm like, good for you.
Yeah, it's so bad. It did not age well in that regard either. That being said, there's a lot I do like about the game. The active battle system like really confused me at first, but I understand how it works now, and it's obviously it's pretty old, and I've played games like that before. I just didn't totally recognize what I was picking up. I assumed it was like Dragon Quest when I started playing it, and it's not that. A little different in the battle. And like they're pretty dynamic with like enemies, like the way they move, like you have to time your attacks. So it's very interesting. And I do enjoy that. So I think I'm going to keep playing it. I'm going to try to finish it because again, I feel like it's a game that everybody should play, but I can see why they remade it for sure. It definitely was a game that, that needed some cleaning up. Then the other game I would like to discuss is Hades. I wanted to talk about this last week, but I wasn't here. Hades is unbelievably good. So you may have seen this in the Nindy showcases. I think they showed it off twice.
Well, one was in Nindies, and the other was the partner showcase.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Why am I blanking on the developer right now? They're pretty
Supergiant.
Iconic. Thank you, Supergiant. I was going to say Sucker Punch. I'm like, I know that's a Sony developer.
Supergiant.
Yes, Supergiant. So they've made a couple good games. Bastion is like the big one that I've heard of.
Transistor.
Transistor and Fury, I think, is the other one. But I might be wrong. Anyway, so the premise of the game is you are trying to escape the underworld. You're Hades' son, and you're trying to escape the underworld. You don't know why at first. And inevitably, your first run is going to end in failure pretty early. But instead of like being a loser, your character Zagreus just like walks out of the pool of sticks and like just shakes the blood off, and he's like, all right, time to go do this again, because he's of the underworld, he can't really be killed, so he'll just constantly like respawn back in Hades' house. The gameplay is like super frantic, high speed. There's a ton of different weapons that you can use. It's a roguelike, so you're leveling up as you go, meeting different Greek gods and talking to them, getting to know them, getting to know this cast of characters that are in the underworld's depths. And that's really where the game shines, because its gameplay is super addicting. It's very, very solid. But the way the story, there's actually a really good story here, and the way it progresses is really creative. Like, if you, so I lost to Megara the Fury, one of the first times I fought, right? So I lost to her. I got sent back to the House of Hades, and she was there waiting for me at the bar, and she was like smack talking to me. So later on, I got good at the game, and I leveled up my character, and I started beating her every time. And she's back at the bar again, and this time I talked to her, and she says, you know what, your victories against me, they don't really count, because it's not your strength that's beating me. It's the level-ups that you're using from, like, there's something, there's a mirror that you can use to level up. She's like, it's magic that's helping you. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go cleanse myself of the magic. So I go back, I reset all my power-ups, and I go fight her, and I beat her again. You go back to the bar, and she talks to you. She's like, I can't believe you beat me without those magic powers. It's really, like, it's very cool how every little thing that you do has an impact on the characters back at home. The story is really touching as well. It's I won't spoil it because I think it's worth it. Maybe I'll talk about it later. But it's about family, so that's always cool. And the way the narrative progresses and reveals itself is also very, very creative. So I highly recommend that game. Check it out. The action, like, you play video games for the gameplay. So I feel like I've done it a disservice by not talking about that enough. But I just give it a look online. You're basically like clearing out swarms of enemies, moving onto another room, or it'll give you, like, so you'll beat a room and you'll have two doors that you can go through. And one door will have, like, the Athena sign, and the other will have the Aphrodite sign. And you get to pick which goddess you want to power up from. You go into that room, you beat that room, then you get that power from that goddess who will improve your dash speed. Athena gives you, like, deflecting abilities, and Aphrodite gives you charm abilities. So you can create each run in a really custom way and experiment. Experimenting is so much, so satisfying. I found builds that I really love. I found builds that I'm like, I'm not so hot on this one, but I'm going to see, you know, maybe if I change this, and then suddenly I love it. So it's a very, very satisfying game to play. I think it's only $20, and it's, like, so easily worth it for $20. There's at least 60 hours of entertainment, at least. It's a great game. So I would definitely pick that up. I believe that's everything I've been playing. But, yeah. Yeah,
like, I was about to say that, yeah, Hades is, like, just a very great game that, again, like, I've read articles and says, like, basically death is part of the game. And, of course, like, just how, yeah, Hades and Nyx, how the characters just basically patronize you. Like, oh, so that's how you die like this. I wonder how it is. And, of course, like, the training dummy is like, no, I just wonder how it is when you explode. Die when you get exploded upon. Like, do you break your bones? Do you die? It just have a great sense of humor in that game. Like, okay, jeez, way to make me feel like a total noob.
It's so true. There's a character, whenever you die, he'll comment on how you died. And, like, if you beat the game, you'll go back to the underworld anyway. Spoilers, it's a roguelike, so you always are going to start back at the beginning. Anyway, he'll say, natural causes got you again. It's, like, very, very funny. But if you get blown up by these skeleton guys who, like, drop bombs on you, he'll say, I was wondering what would happen if you just stood there and let their bombs blow up on you. It's like, oh, I get you right. I do suck. Thanks, Hypnos.
yeah. So that's the one that's the greatest strength about the game. And I've only heard nothing but great critical acclaim for this game from, like, many people. And yeah, I think most likely I'll probably wait until, like, it really hits the bargain bin. But yeah, like, but again, for the value of itself, like, I think it was, what, $20 or $30 if I checked it on the eShop store. But
I got it for $20 for sure, but I think it was on sale. So maybe it's $25, but it's somewhere in there.
Okay. So yeah, but overall the price itself is pretty reasonable, for especially the content you're getting. Definitely. So yeah, I'll definitely look forward to it, you know. For me, it's basically fairly light on my side as well. Naturally, just continuing on the Ring Fit Adventures. And of course, naturally, today is the update season 2 of Fall Guys and the new maps. Okay, like, I'm glad, like, we're going to everything now has been changed to medieval settings. There are 4 new maps in medieval times, basically scaling the walls, charging the walls, and of course, there's this big spike bonkus, that is what they call it, the spike bonkus, which is basically a giant rolling log that with spikes on it. And the gauntlet, I gotta say, the new gauntlet levels from in Fall Guys from Mediatonic is definitely one of the major highlights of this new of season 2. And of course, naturally, with performance enhancements, it's just now the game is running so much more smoother, much more better connection. Just how they improve upon it in this new update is just absolutely a new breath of fresh air to the game. So, of course, naturally, it's still competing with the recent game of Among Us, but now with this recent new season 2 update, I'm just can't wait to go back into. Fall Guys, just to try to get my next crown again. So overall, like, if you want to go back to Fall Guys, this is a perfect time to go back and just try out those new levels, especially, like, again, the medieval setting. So So there's that. And let's see. Yeah, generally not much. Again, this week has been pretty busy on my side. And of course, naturally, Fire Emblem Heroes, which, but again, we talked about already. And overall, it's just been just kind of very chill. I mean, this coming month, well, I mean, again, we're all just getting ready for Age of Calamity. That's one phase that I'm looking forward to. So naturally, there's that. But overall, it has been just that. Ring Fit Adventure, Fall Guys, and just pretty much like else. I'm just waiting for the next month to come over already. So overall, yeah, nothing much on my side.
Now, if we want to segue into what have you been watching, then I would talk about how I finished part two of Pokemon Journeys. And while I'm still very much enjoying this season, series, or however you want to call it, I still don't like this Netflix model. I mean, I even stretch it out 3 episodes every Saturday for the last 4 weeks, and as I note in my review, it's not enough! Like, this show really should be in an episodic format, or, all at once, where you have every episode, which obviously wasn't possible given how it's being made. But just having 12 episode pods is horrible. And this is not the only show I felt this with. I felt it with Voltron Legendary Defender when they went from 13 episode seasons to 7 episode seasons because of stupidity. And it's just like, oh, stop it. Stop it. This is torture. Also, Go needs to grow up. He's hardly the worst companion that Ash has ever had that's either Iris or Cylon, but like there are episodes where I literally wanted to punch Go in the face, and I've never felt that emotion for a Pokemon companion before. Like he there's an episode where, spoilers, where Scorbunny is trying to learn a fire move because he's a fire type, can't necessarily do it. And so if this was Ash's Pokemon, he would go into hard training sessions. Ash would motivate him to learn that fire type move. What does Go do? Oh, quick attack and double kick. You're fine. We don't need you to learn a fire type move. I'm like, what? What is wrong with you? And then he actually yells at Scorbunny and says, you don't need to learn the fire type move, so stop it. And I'm just like, I will knock your block off. How dare you yell at Scorbunny like that? And it's just like, ugh. And then I know part of this is the writer in me, because that's just bad writing and everything. I get it, you're trying to make him different from Ash. And you go, hey, I'm trying to catch all these Pokemon, and that's fine. But Go just, for whatever reason, doesn't get that you're supposed to actually have an emotional connection with your Pokemon. And then when he does finally get it with Scorbunny, it's completely, like, rushed. And then Scorbunny evolves, spoiler. And then they rush through that storyline and just like, stop it. Take the time. Make it work. There was a dance contest. That's how they made up. I mean, are you kidding me? You made it via a dance thing? Oh my gosh. Why? So, my review is up. I promise I didn't give it 1 star. I should have. No, I shouldn't have. But it's up on the website. I am enjoying the series. When it's really good, it's really good. And then there's Go. So, also, I know the Alola reunion episode is coming up where we meet Ash's little brother, or stepbrother, whatever you want to call him. But I'm eagerly waiting for that one. So I know, because that one's apparently like 5-star quality all the way. And I loved the Alola run, so that I will look forward to. But I hate that I have to wait another 3 months for it. Curse you, Netflix!
Todd, are you going to ask me what I've been watching?
No.
The better question is, what haven't I been
Stop it!
watching?
Mine was Nintendo related. I
The
highly
NBA
doubt
playoffs
yours was
have been a
Nintendo
little
related.
disappointing. The NBA playoffs have not been what I've hoped for. I'm glad LeBron's going to win the title, but that's not been optimal. The presidential debate yesterday, I watched that. That was pretty good.
Stop. First of all, LeBron is going to lose. He's going to drop the next 3 games. Book it. All right. And for the record, that vice president debate, I was rooting for the Fly, and the Fly won. So all is well in the world. All right, now seriously though, we do need to move on to the news because there honestly has been some interesting stuff going on the past week. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And let's start, obviously, with Minecraft Steve. Because, yes, he is in Smash Bros. He's coming out on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Okay, yes, he's coming out on Tuesday. And as we already noted, they did the reveal video where they talked about his move set. And all the Mii costumes we're getting, including, yes, Travis Touchdown. Sorry, Will. Oh, by the way, what's his final Smash gonna be?
Chiefs. Oh, he's gonna put you. He hits you with a giant, like what's it called, piston, and it sends you into a house, and then there's creepers in the house, and then he blows the house up, and then he eats a sandwich. Pretty funny.
Yeah, that's, castle boom. Yeah,
that's stupid. Moving on. So. And...
You're such a hater. You're such a hater, Todd.
Wait, so wait, you're
calling
me the
biggest hater.
You're calling me a hater?
I am.
Hater?
I can't believe it. What a hater you are.
Hater? You done? Because I keep saying hater all night. Until my voice cracked.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay. Anyway, so Mojang, how do you say it, Will? Mojang?
Mojang Studios.
Mojang, whatever. I called it Mahjong last week, and Will got all up in my grill, so I don't want that to happen again. So yes, Mojang addressed it and the reveal, and they know they were infinitely excited. And he's like, and they went, "Is this really happening? Do your eyes play tricks on you?" No, it does not. And it's actually a very heartfelt letter from the team about, you know, getting Steve in Smash Brothers, and they thank everybody for supporting it and reacting like they did. So, see, they support my fury. They said they thank you for your reactions. They support my fury. It's law. So, it's going to be interesting, and I am happy. All objections aside, I am always happy when a development team gets to see their character arrive, kind of like how we had with Rare Studios with Banjo. Fans have been asking for Banjo for years. They finally got it, and the Rare team got to be happy. Would you call that a Rare victory? And so seeing Mojang so excited, and they were like really happy. I'm not gonna read the whole letter because it's really really long, but like they were clearly happy to have Steve and Alex and Enderman and Zombie in Smash Brothers, so I can at least be happy for them that their accomplishment got such acclaim, that accomplishment being Minecraft, that they got to be in Smash Brothers. So I can be happy on that level. I can be happy for them. All right. So there you go. Oh yeah, I forgot to mention one thing. So Steve, like we said, Steve is coming out on Tuesday. And Will, would you like to remind people when you thought Steve was going to come out?
This was shocking. This was the most shocking part of the episode.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought like maybe it was a little bit few months, or like as apparently I mistakenly said April, but
you did. You literally said the end of this year or mid 2021, and that's why I was like, what? And you didn't get what I was saying. You're like, no, Will, I got what you're saying, but you're saying that they made a reveal trailer and they're not going to bring it to the game in like 6 to 8 to 9 months. And he goes like, no, it's development schedule. And I'm like, Will, they've been doing really well. I gave him like you heard it, Tyler. I gave him an infinite amount of chance to revise his release date. He's like, nope, it's late this year or next year. I'm like, wow.
Again, I was completely not in the. Not fully there last week. I bet I was like completely out of it.
I will give Will some defense here as well,
here. Dude, I've always been insane. Have you not seen me? I was talking about Sinokaraga again. Don't make me go and take this podcast.
In Will's defense, Joker took like 3 months to come out, and Min Min took like 3 months to come out. But like Min Min was sort of announced in March.
No. Hold on. First of all, the Joker one I'll grant you, but that was because they were just about to launch the game and they just announced the DLC, and even Sakurai noted they rushed that trailer because they wanted you to know what was coming. With Min Min, we knew an ARMS character was coming, but the reveal trailer for Min Min was what was a week before her actual release. Terry Bogard was same day. Banjo was a week.
Banjo was a little bit, yeah.
Banjo was a little, not a lot. Hero and Banjo were announced at E3 because they were
projecting.
Right,
and Banjo came out in September.
That was a little different, but given in recent times, their last couple, like Byleth was like same day or a week after.
Yeah.
So, like, they've been really good about doing the announced trailers and then having them close after. So that's why I was jumping on Will, because he's like, oh, it might come out next year. Will, you've only had one character this year.
Kind of hoped that it was going to be after they did the presentation for Steve. I was hoping he would just drop. Like, it's even just this 1 week wait, or I guess week and a half wait, was surprising to me because it's been so long since Min Min came out.
Yeah, and it doesn't give me hope for like a reveal at the Game Awards, because it's So, but I will now release our ourselves from Minecraft Steve, you could say he's been blocked from our podcast. So, moving on to Monster Hunter Rise, which had some big insight from the dev team. Because the big question was, when it got revealed at the recent partner showcase alongside Monster Hunter Stories 2, it was, why was this one being made? How long has it been made? And, you know, was this why we didn't get Monster Hunter World? Well, according to producer Ryuzo Tujimoto, he said, quote, "It's been about 4 years in total in terms of development time. Ishinose was the director of Monster Hunter Generations, which came out about 4 or 5 years ago, and we did give him a bit of time off after that. It wasn't like the next day, but we asked him if he could work on the next portable, at the time it hadn't been released, Switch title. And we also had to consider what engine to use at the same time before we get started. We were using the RE engine, Resident Evil, which at the time had not been released yet, because the first thing using it was Resident Evil 7. So yeah, long story short, it was about 4 years once we got all those ducks in a row. So yeah, this is being made on the actual engine for Resident Evil 7, which obviously means it's going to look good. And they were making it directly to Switch, so they knew it was going to be exclusive. And he went on to note that the reason that we didn't get Monster Hunter World was because they knew that because the Switch was portable, you weren't going to play it the same way that you would play Monster Hunter World on PS4, Xbox One, or on PC, where you'd have like a sit-down, really long session. You would want to have pick-up-and-play capability. So they tailored Monster Hunter Rise to the idea of, you know, being able to play it for like 30 minutes while you're waiting for something and then turning it off to go to do something else. So the reason it's going to play different Monster Hunter World in certain ways is because they wanted you to be able to do that pick up and go gameplay. And I think that's actually really clever.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Your normal Monster Hunter titles don't usually jump out at me as well. And maybe it's because we were so starved for Nintendo news. But I felt like the passion that they put into this game really kind of bled through in the trailer that we saw. It did look really good, and it looked Nintendo-y. It felt like a Nintendo-like title. So I'm not surprised to hear that they went ground up for Switch.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it hasn't always been rumored about the Monster Hunter game for Nintendo Switch, besides from World. And again, we discussed this previously before. I'm just glad, like, again, how this game has turned out. And, like, again, even our boss, Cooper Keefe, says, like, why couldn't we have the sling bug with us in Monster Hunter World? Like, there's just a lot more new features in Rise that seems to be, could be very good in World. But, again, now they make this thing exclusive for Rise. So, at least it has something that Switch users has as outside of, like, Rise. Monster Hunter World players out there. So overall, I'm just glad how the product is turning out to be right now. So I actually still have to pre-order my collector's edition of that. So overall, I'm just glad how it turns out.
Yeah, I've honestly never played a Monster Hunter game. The closest I think I got was Monster Hunter Tri on the Wii. That's just because I honestly never heard of Monster Hunter before. And so, you know, when I hear about, like, you know, Monster Hunter World, which really opened the gates to the west, if you will. And now we have Monster Hunter Rise. I might try it. It just depends on how everything looks next year. But I'm definitely curious. And Capcom really loves this franchise, especially with how well it does in Japan and now in the West because of how great Monster Hunter World sold, like, well over 10 million copies across the three platforms. So I think this one will be good, and it'll be a good exclusive for Switch. 2021 is really shaping up to be a big year for Switch, which we can all appreciate, because 2020, not so much. So
I'm going to give 2020 a little bit of credit, though, here. Like, these final months have been solid.
Solid enough. I mean, they've done enough, like, with obviously Animal Crossing. Age of Calamity could be a nice saving grace. You either loved or didn't like Origami King. And then, of course, we got the two Pokemon DLC packs, which were kind of like fillers, if you will.
It's a smaller title. Like, Hades is a really, really good game.
But that was multi-platform.
It's on Steam. It's on Steam, but it's nowhere else.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. I thought because Sora was on other consoles, but okay.
Yeah, so. And I agree. Like, I think when we're looking at a year or two, exclusives, very important. Don't get me wrong. But having games to play is the number one thing, you know. So if there's a great third party game that comes out on Switch that I have to get, I won't be, you know, I won't be as ornery as I was, you know, in the dog days of summer with Nintendo just giving us nothing and parties giving us nothing.
All right. Heading now to Hyrule Warriors, which has gotten a plethora of announcements recently. We had a new trailer, which showcased some of the Breath of the Wild characters in their, how do you want to call it, younger forms?
Yep, in their prime.
In their prime, and they will be, once again, your allies during the Great Calamity. And then Nintendo had a Rare Treehouse presentation where they showcased some of the gameplay, a new level. They showed off the map that you're going to be playing on. And it was interesting. One of our other Outer Haven people wrote about that because we were all busy. So they were like, why is it so long? I'm like, it's a treehouse. That's the point. They do this for like days on E3, which obviously we didn't have this year. So... like, I'm excited for this game. I am. I think it's going to be something special. I like how they're just, like, slowly parsing out the elements of, you know, who's going to be in there and the gameplay and everything. I think it's going to be interesting. They really need to work on their bonus items, though. Like, the pre-order. Like, you get a ladle. Like, it's a ladle. Like, why would I want that?
They leave it as open, like, yeah, you can beat the game using a ladle. I mean, okay. I mean,
I'm not paying extra for a ladle. I'm sorry. I'm good with. I have a sword. I'll use that. Okay.
Yeah, it's always been questioning of that, but anyway, but yeah, like, just to go back a little bit, like, again, the newest trailer, they revealed a young Robbie, like, is the old male researcher of Sheikah's researcher, and like the one, he just like very so eccentric, and like, yeah, one of the main things about a researcher is never giving up. And of course we also see young Pura, which a lot of people are like, holy crap, like,
she's hot.
Pretty much, that's pretty much like, oh no, she's hot. And like, okay, we always only have been reading about the story of her baby transformation in the journal in the original game of Breath of the Wild, and now to actually see her in her prime without that hair highlight, we're like, holy shoot. I mean, yes, people were clamoring about Impa looking good 100 years prior. Now we got Pura. Like, this is only going to show you again how Koei Tecmo really does Hyrule Warrior games. I mean, if the last game was any clue whatsoever. So yeah, just seeing these two back in their prime, I can only imagine what other characters going to be showing up 100 years prior. Like, of course, we see, like, Child Sidon and all that, so I can only imagine what other characters we'd like to see.
I've seen some takes already, Will, that cracked me up of, they're making Zelda characters too attractive. I don't know how I feel about this. They're Fire Emblem Zelda.
Well, to be fair, Zelda characters have been attractive even back in the past. Like,
yes,
even
exactly.
I mean,
this is not a new
Bruno,
thing.
Oh my god, smoke show.
Look at Nehru and Din from Seasons and Ages. Nehru was stunning, that's why I had a crush on her. And Din didn't exactly have the most clothing on ever, and then there was, and then of course in Ocarina of Time, Link was a pimp, basically. I mean, he had Soraya, which was like the cute girl you always fall for. Then he had Rudo, who we got to see in her young form and adult form. Then we had what was the Gerudo you team up with?
Yeah.
She was nice, and then she even said the line, "Man, if I knew what a handsome man you grew up to be, I would have kept my promise." That ain't suggestive at all. So yeah, Link's got like 3-4.
What about the naked fairies in like every Zelda game?
The great fairies. Yeah, even the great fairy. Yeah.
Yeah, with certain body parts that could poke your eye out, as Boomstick would say from Death Battle. Like, yeah, so don't talk to us about suggestive. You know, this has been a part of Zelda lore. And what about a Midna in her true form?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was a bombshell. Or what about the other lady, the village lady, who also had curves like a great fairy? Like, that wasn't suggestive at all, either.
Oh, yeah.
So,
Agatha,
Agatha or something.
No,
like,
that was the bug girl. That was the bug girl, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, but, like...
Also kind of hot, though, I mean...
Meh.
Yeah,
out the
we're
case.
Not,
I'm
we're
kidding.
Not,
out the
yeah,
case. Out the
yeah,
case.
Like, we're not thinking about the same one if you're saying that. But it doesn't matter.
It was a tasteless, distasteful joke.
Oh, distasteful.
It was.
Okay. Yeah,
it was.
I see. Uh-huh. Note to self, Tyler is turning into Will. Look for signs of him saying Sengen Kagura. Moving on. But, so don't talk to us about, oh, they're making them all suggestive. They've been suggestive in the past, okay?
Right.
Ironically, the only one who hasn't is Zelda. Think about it.
Right.
She's honestly been immune to this, and I think it's just because she's a princess.
I would not say that with the recent entry of Breath of the Wild. I would not say that fully. She's not fully free from that clutch. So
she's never had like revealing clothing. What am I missing?
Have you not been on the internet, dear sir? Have you not?
If this is a rule 34 situation, that doesn't count. If this is rule 34, that doesn't count. You need
I'm not even talking about rule 34. It's even in the main game. I mean, not seeing her.
I'm picturing Zelda right now, and when she has her blue shirt on.
Not everything has to be skimpy and no clothes, dear sir.
What about the scenic frog? The frog scene, the iconic frog scene.
Where she's trying to make you eat a frog? That's not exactly suggestive.
Oh no, is it a flower? Is it the flower? It might be the frog too, though. She like you know she's crawling around. He's got a really good.
It was pretty much everybody was going crazy over that scene. Aside from being hurt, being all adorable, if anything else.
Yeah. Okay. If that's what all got you going, you gutter mind out. All right.
Tell that to the millions of Zelda fans out there.
I am one of those millions of Zelda fans, and I saw nothing wrong with that scene or suggestive about that scene. But you all are jumping over it, so. You know, whatever. It's your mind. I mean, with Will, I can at least understand, you know, with his Sengen Kagura love, among other things. Among many, many other things, Will.
You have no idea. Going back to... Before we go into this deep, dark rabbit hole, just going back to, again, with just how the trailer and, of course, naturally the treehouse. Of course, they also showed off Urbosa as well, which, again, just seeing her in action, especially with the thunderclap.
Urbosa's a boss. She was a boss in the main game. She's going to be a boss here. She's great.
Now, right, and, of course, they also had the Korok spirits as well making an appearance, which... Okay, we got to go find those things again, even though we get
out of that. I hated that. You get more item space or whatever if you find all of us. I'm like, oh, that's nice in theory, but I don't want to waste half my time finding all of you idiots.
Right,
so,
especially when the reward's not really worth it at the end of the original game.
Oh, yeah, that was stupid. Anyway, but also the team got to speak about it, and they noted something that I thought was rather interesting. They were just happy the game wasn't leaked.
Right.
And if you think about it, they're kind of right, because you know we would have heard about a prequel to Breath of the Wild coming, even especially with the sequel being made right now, and it's like nope, they somehow kept it completely under wraps. So like that's actually a really good accomplishment, and they also know that you know they know that some of you are going to be concerned about how it looks, how it plays, but they said that we're making sure that it's going to be as perfect to Breath of the Wild as possible, which we've already seen in the trailers, and you know this is going to be, they said it's going to be 100 times more involved this time around and so on and so forth, so I think this is going to be something special. I mean it won't be for everyone, because Warriors games are absolutely not for everyone,
of course.
I definitely think there's going to be enough Zelda fans out there who's going to want to try this, and it's going to be a mega million seller, I think.
Fire Emblem Warriors was lazy in a lot of ways.
It was.
Lazy is the last word I would use to describe the Age of Calamity.
Yeah.
It looks excellent. I was concerned at first with the it takes place in the Breath of the Wild area, like in the actual map of Breath of the Wild. This is Breath of the Wild map. But it works so well. It works way better than I thought it would, actually seeing it in practice. It's so cool to see these places before the Calamity, all these towns that are wiped out in Breath of the Wild, seeing them fleshed out. Each character looks like they have a completely identical or a completely unique moveset, which that was the biggest weakness I felt in Fire Emblem Warriors. Half the characters played exactly the same. In this, that seems like not the case. And characters have multiple weapons to choose from.
The menus
are Breath of the Wild's menus. They're nailing the Zelda charm. everything about this game looks excellent to me. Yeah. And the only thing that doesn't look excellent to me is the fact that it's a Warriors game, and those are inherently, like, there's a limit on how good they could be. But this seems to be one of the best.
Yeah, there's gonna be, this might be an exception to that rule. So
right.
We'll see how it all plays out when it comes out on November 22nd, right?
November 20th, I believe.
I think 20th, it's the 20th.
22nd.
Yeah, it's on a Friday, I remember.
Yeah.
Zelda's moveset. One second on Zelda.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
brilliant. Like, so they showed her gameplay where she's using the Sheikah Slate. She can take pictures of stuff.
Oh, yeah,
and, like,
yeah,
blow
yeah,
up
yeah,
the
yeah,
enemies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she'll, like, she uses the, she summons the giant bomb. She uses the stasis to freeze enemies in place. It's, I was wondering how they were going to make her work. And it's such a great way to do it. And it does, to me, open the possibility of playing as her in Breath of the Wild, too. Using the Slate with these kind of tools that we're going to see in Age of Calamity.
Yeah.
At least I hope so.
If they don't make Zelda at least partially playable, like even like at a tag team setting for certain levels, then that would be a waste, because she was gone basically the whole game the first time around, which is a typical Zelda thing. So now they need to, you know, make her once again feel like much more relevant. So we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we'll find out something soon. No, we won't. No, we won't. Not with how this year is going. All right, moving on to the other part of the treehouse, Pikmin 3 Deluxe, where they have released a demo that you can play right now on Nintendo eShop. So if you have not played Pikmin 3 Deluxe or Pikmin 3 before, go try out the demo and see if you might want to get it when it comes out later this month. So
yeah,
never played Pikmin. Not once.
Yeah, also, if you actually complete the demo of this of Pikmin 3, you actually can unlock the more spicy difficulty, as they called it, in the full game once it's fully released. Which...
spicy difficulty.
And yeah, they also definitely showed off the new different features, especially with the co-op mode now in story mode, which I gotta say, that's a very good addition to have, that have two players play on story mode with you. So that's always a nice feature. And again, if you haven't played the Pikmin 3 back on the original Wii U, yeah, this is definitely a very good chance to a good second chance if you haven't gotten already. And again, just seeing how it is, and of course they incorporated motion control with the Joy-Con, and like, so it emulates the Wii remote game, controls. Then yeah, I'm just really glad how much they have incorporated like different control schemes for many different players. So props to Nintendo for that option.
All right, and then, oh yeah, easily the big news of the day. Mortal Kombat! So, Ed Boon was teasing... okay, first of all, the game, Mortal Kombat 11, has sold over 10... where are we at? 8 million copies? 10 million copies? Something like that. And he was teasing that there was a big announcement coming. And everyone's like, oh, it's going to be DLC characters. And so, sure enough, today, we got a gorgeously rendered CGI trailer for the next three DLC characters that are coming to the game, and it is Rain, Melina. Yes, you finally got Melina, so you can shut up now. Like, seriously, the love of Melina is honestly kind of terrifying, and I'm almost shocked that Will wasn't a part of this crowd, but that's another story entirely. And Rambo. Yes, we got John freaking Rambo in a fighting game. And yes, he is going to be voiced by Sylvester Stallone. So wait, who is Rambo? I'm your worst nightmare.
Yeah, you know, like... yeah. When I saw one reaction, I was like, I'm your worst nightmare. And he actually called the line. Again, it's just a popular line from that movie. And
yeah.
Oh, man. To have Rambo in this game.
Rambo.
Like, just... again, it's just basically fan fiction material here. Again, you can face up against Terminator, face up against, yeah, Spawn.
RoboCop.
Yeah, RoboCop. Yeah, yeah. It's just like, oh my lord. How many? NetherRealm is basically trying to go and basically make Smash Brothers with this franchise, if anything else.
That is actually a great way of looking at it. I liked your fan fiction note too, but like this is exactly what they're doing. They are going and say, okay, who will never be in Smash Brothers and yet totally be in Mortal Kombat? And we're going to get a little bit more with the main event, but look at the roster that they've had over the years in terms of third party characters. Okay, they've had Jason, Freddy Krueger, and Michael Myers. They've had Alien and Predator, and now they have Terminator, RoboCop, Spawn, Joker, Terminator, and Rambo. Wow. Like, it's, I mean, we were talking like who's left, and we can only think of like Ash from the Evil Dead, maybe Rick Grimes or Negan, I guess, I suppose, who knows? I mean, Negan did Tekken, so why not Mortal Kombat? And so on and so forth. It's like it's the bloody version of Smash Brothers tied with fan fiction. So, yeah, welcome to our world. Oh man, I feel again, but Rambo, really? I
Yeah,
mean,
this was just like I didn't like it. I don't know. The guest characters, it's too much at this point. Freddy Krueger was really cool when they added him in Mortal Kombat 9. And like Predator was kind of cool when they added him to Mortal Kombat 10, but not quite as cool as Freddy Krueger. And then, the Rambo is like
Rambo.
it's not, it doesn't even feel like a Mortal Kombat game at
No.
this point. It totally just feels like action stars
Yeah. It,
fighting
it,
each other.
exactly. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why do you like hate Rambo, but was okay with Joker? Okay, first of all, I wasn't exactly okay with Joker because the first look he had when they showed the reveal trailer looked like he was a cosplayer. But they
It
fixed it.
did.
They fixed it. But like Joker deals with superhumans. Like he fights Batman and all these other superheroes on the regular, and he takes a stupid amount of abuse. It's literally his power of taking pain, even though yes, he is actually 100% human somehow. But Rambo, he's peak human. Yes, he is like he you can even see he's like Batman levels of human, but he's still human. All right, Johnny Cage is human, but he doesn't act it. All right, he's got like that super unnatural abilities, or as he says, people say I use special effects. I am the special effect. All right, he's beyond human, and that's why he
Sonya's
gets
just a regular human, right?
what?
Sonya Blade.
Well,
I think she's just a
Sony has
regular
got like an
human.
infinite amount of military
She's
experience.
multi-tech.
Yeah,
She's
but so does
multi-tech.
Rambo. So does Rambo. Rambo's
Yeah,
got some
okay,
relatives
okay,
already.
I'll allow that. That's a good comparison. Like
The
Sony
problem for me
is
is he just feels out of place. Like,
does.
Joker feels a little bit in place because
Warner Brothers.
Injustice is a thing.
And Warner
You
Brothers. Yeah,
know? Injustice is a
Yeah.
thing. So,
Yeah, Injustice is a
yeah.
great game,
It
but
is.
But Rambo, it's just like it feels like you're. I saw somebody tweet this out that it's like if your dad was asked to pick the Smash Bros. Roster, like yeah, that. This is what Mortal Kombat is like. Let's get RoboCop in there. But Rambo is pretty cool. I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah, for the other problem for me is that if you actually watch the Rambo movies, doesn't, and I know this is gonna sound weird, he doesn't do head-on attacks. He is a special forces guy. He prefers to hide in the jungle and sneak attack you, like the net that we see in the trailer. That's his thing. He will come out and kill you, but usually when he knows he has the advantage, like in the Rambo where he went into Burma and jumped on the 50 cal and just starts blasting everybody. He knows he's gonna kill you, so he doesn't mind not hiding. Other times he'll like do like guerrilla warfare. That's his thing. So he's not the kind of guy to just come up and attack you head on. Whereas Sonya, obviously as a soldier, is very much that vein. So
Yeah.
it's tricky. And and that does feel like my dad would love to know that Rambo is in this video game. He loved that series. So we also watched Rocky together, so there's that. But what, Rambo? Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of the interesting pick to say the least. We expect again, we have horror stars, we have like great comic book heroes, and just like again, these things you would expect to like possibly even be in a series like Mortal Kombat. But yeah, with Rambo, it's definitely more the outlier of it because like again, he's mostly based out on action, not really more on a horror type, a supernatural action type, like with Mortal Kombat. I mean, I can only imagine how what combo would be with Raiden and everybody else. Like, what Rambo would say in this world of Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, I mean, I look forward to him and Terminator meeting up. Don't know you. I have no recollection of us meeting. Fine, I'll kill you anyway. Something like that. And like, what is RoboCop gonna say? Those guns are in violation of the law. Are you gonna try and take them from me? Yes, I shall. Okay. Because like, what are you gonna do? Or Johnny Cage? Like, oh my gosh, Johnny Cage and
Oh my
Rambo.
God,
It's like,
that I cannot wait. I cannot
yeah.
wait, yeah.
Didn't I fight? Didn't we do a movie together? Do I look like I knew movies, kid? Hey, who you calling a kid? It's like, what are you gonna do? So, yeah, it's gonna be interesting, but yeah, Mortal Kombat 11 now with Rambo. Okay. And of course, the tie-in was that they were having Mortal Kombat Ultimate, which I'm pretty sure includes all the DLC that's coming out soon, so be on the lookout for that.
It's gonna be coming out on the same release of the next gen consoles, which is gonna be no November 15th. Yes.
How poetic. So, and again, Melina fans, you got Melina. All right, like, stop it. All right, you win, move on. For those of you who don't get this joke, like, ever since they had the initial roster for 11,
Right.
everyone's like, where's Melina?
Melina's
And,
awesome, though, in their defense.
huh?
Melina is awesome, in their
She's
defense.
something. She's something.
Besides, she's very fun to use.
Yeah, but like everyone's like saying, "Where's Melina?" And then like the first DLC pack came out, "Where's Melina?" Then the second DLC came back, "Where's Melina?" Like, and then even Ed Boon's like, "Guys, the girl needs a break, okay?" So like, stop it. Also, Melina died in Mortal Kombat 10, so
One of her clones
of
on
course it has.
clone
Of
it's a
course, it was
clone
a clone.
story.
Of course, it was. Oh gosh. See, and you wonder why they have to do a time travel story because it's so.
Another time
Another
travel
time
story.
travel story. Okay, can we move on?
Yeah,
This
let's
is
move on.
let's move on. To the news that happened just before this podcast, Splatfest. Yay! So yes, our next Splatfest is Team Trick versus Team Treat, and yes, it will indeed be on Halloween weekend. So.
And if I remember correctly, the last time we had the Splatoon for this Halloween, I believe it was either Vampires or Werewolves, if I
It
remember
was.
correctly. Yeah.
It was. And of course, Team Werewolf, because vampires suck. Aha, aha, aha. And so yeah, so this will be go. I honestly am not sure where I fall on this, because if you had asked me like a few years ago, I would have totally been Team Treat. But now I'm like trying to lose weight, so I'm like avoiding candy like the plague.
Well,
Unless,
I think we did ask you this question a few years ago,
I
and I
think we
think you
did.
were Team Treat, because I was Team Trick.
So, but like now, I love tricks because I like, tricking people, and I love doing puns and doing stories about being struck by lightning and making you think I was actually struck by it.
I'm gonna be honest, I was not listening at all.
I'm sure I'm not surprised, and that's why I'm the host. So, we will be, of course, doing a settle it and splat on that at the end of the month. But let us know already where you side on Team Trick or Team Treat. We look forward to hearing your thoughts.
And yeah, it actually was originally in the actually, yeah, actually, I'm seeing it here right now. It was originally back in 2018. It actually started on October 19th of 2018. So it was been done before. It has been done before.
What has been done before?
The
Trick or
topic of
treat.
Trick versus Treat, yes.
Oh, it's like a reprise?
Yeah, that's kind of what
Oh.
they've been doing recently.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't really know.
And
So, okay,
also,
fine.
just a refresher, the popularity vote was under Trick, but the Treat won both on the
Yeah, I
normal and
remember
Float route.
Treat one
Dang
was
straight.
another snub.
Dang straight. So that means I was right. So maybe I should stick with Team Treat. Oh man, or maybe I should stick to my beliefs, like Tyler would if Love versus Money ever came back up. So
Nintendo,
they are
bring that
so
topic
afraid you won that
back!
one back. They're so afraid. Nintendo is shaking in their boots. They don't want to run it back.
And I'm pretty sure you've lost the last two Splatfests, even though you were sure that you were right, Tyler. I'm just saying.
I have lost a series
Yeah.
of Splatfests.
Yes, you have.
And
Yes, you
ever
have.
since that Love versus Money one, they stole it from me, and I lost my love for the game. It's like Ricky Bobby when he got into that crash. It's like me and Splatfest. It's
So
like
I
they
am paralyzed.
stole. I can't do
Can't.
it. I can't win a Splatfest anymore.
Yeah. Suffer. 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 And actually, if Tyler did look back, he would see he actually had one more after that. But yeah, I'm glad his confidence was shaken because love is better than money. And I say that as a guy who has money but not love. Okay, so on to our main event. We already slightly touched on. Okay, we didn't lightly touch on it, but we need to talk about extra characters. So over the course of the last several years, and I mean like several years, between Smash Brothers, Mortal Kombat, Tekken, certain other fighting games, even King of Fighters technically, they've had this thing of bringing in these extra characters that go kind of beyond the scope of what the game is, could be, and should be. And at times, it's cool. At times, it's funny because it's like, oh wow, they brought that character into it. And then you get Rambo in Mortal Kombat. All right? Like, how far is too far with these characters, with these character inclusions? And we're going to break this all down in a Nintendo discussion. So, like I said, we kind of talked about this in the Mortal, when we talked about Mortal Kombat, but it goes beyond Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat is just like a really great example because of what's happened recently. But look at like Tekken 7. What characters did they bring into the game? They brought in Geese Howard from King of Fighters Fatal Fury. They brought in
Not this
crap.
of Final Fantasy 15.
Thank you. They brought in Ignis and
Not this. Not this.
whatever. It's a character. I knew I got the character.
Iggy is like, you're talking about the Iggy we're going to. I come up with a new recipe.
And
That's Iggy you're talking
he
about.
came up with a recipe to kick butt in Tekken 7. Accept it and move on. All right.
No, that was not, again, not just the Crown Prince. That it was voiced by the young prince. It was
I
not Iggy.
know what the dang game was about. Moving on. But like Noctis in a Tekken game, that was kind of odd. And then of course the big one, Negan from Walking Dead, he got into Tekken, and it was just like, really? Okay. And Injustice wasn't much better. I mean, they brought in Hellboy, which was kind of cool. And then of course they brought in Sub-Zero and Raiden, which was kind of fine and whatever. Like they walk the line well enough. But then you have Mortal Kombat, which has brought in like an infinite number of horror monsters and the Predator and now Rambo, Terminator, RoboCop. And of course Smash Brothers over the course of its life has brought in Snake, which was awesome to be clear, but like we had an actual human in a game that's not always about humans. So I mean, like what's the closest humans we got? Link and Zelda
He's
and
more elf.
everything.
He's an elf. He's a hiding elf, if anything else.
I said Zelda, and technically Link's not an elf, but we're not
They're
gonna get into
Hylians. They're
it. Yes,
Hylians.
he's Hylian. Moron. Anyway, but and then of course we had Bayonetta and Joker from Persona, and Pac-Man was fine, but it was a little weird seeing Pac-Man in the game. And now of course we've got Terry Bogard and Ryu and Ken and Minecraft Steve. I still have fury about
Yes.
that one. But
Yep.
like how far is too far? Like is there a line? Like, is it just a point where, like Will said, it's basically fan fiction, or where your dad is picking games for, or picking characters for these games just to, like, feel included? Is there a line? Tyler, I'll start with you.
Well, I do think that there's a line. It's really not so much with characters so much as it is with the games that they enter. Like I would think that for Super Smash Bros., it would be really like to me, Goku is breaking a line because to me, Smash Bros. Is celebrating gaming franchises and yes, Dragon Ball is a ton of games, but it's an anime first. And to me, there's a line there. It wouldn't fit there. But Goku would certainly fit as a guest fighter in I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head. Off of a game that's more focused on, if it was a Naruto fighting game and you had Goku involved there, I think that would be cool. I think that would work. So to me, it's much more about the actual game, the tone of the game itself. To me, the best, hands down, the absolute best guest appearance is Link in Soul Calibur 2. Like, Link in Soul Calibur 2 sold the game for me. Seeing Link on the cover, he fit right in. He was very true to his game.
Yeah, but then in contrast, we had Yoda in Soul Calibur 4, who was broken as all get out because no one can hit Yoda because he's so small.
Right. Yeah, and you know, like, I wasn't totally against, because, again, the Soul Calibur is sort of... the Star Wars characters weren't totally out of place to me there, just the fantasy vibe of it all, even though they're futuristic, it still worked in a way, not as well as Link, of course, but that's where I would draw the line. What about you, Will?
Yeah, I was about to spring up to the point about Goku, because again, everybody wants Goku and Smash Brothers, but again, as Sakurai has stated, nothing from like mangas or, again, it just seems to be that's where the line is set. Again, no manga characters. I mean, heck, do we expect like Naruto or like any other manga characters to be in Smash Brothers? Of course not, because again, it's mostly focused on video game industry icons. It's, when it comes to like probably setting limits, it's just like, again, I agree with the whole point of like, again, it's what kind of games they are, especially with a certain style. But then again, we have all these different characters. Like, you would never expect to go show up because, like, I don't know, just because it's just so absolutely different from their genres, or just complete. You would never would expect in a million years to come to a series like Smash Bros. Or certain other franchises. Of course, naturally, we'd look at Steve and, like, yeah, you never would put him in a fighting game, but lo and behold, here he is in Smash Bros. Because again, he is an icon of a generation, whether you like it or not. And of course, like, there'll be other different characters. Like, another good popular one is that a lot of people in the Tekken community want to have like Kiryu Kazuma of the Yakuza series to be in this game, just because again, his brawler style would be perfect for Tekken. Or heck, even like some people would even argue for Final Fantasy characters to be either in Street Fighter or in Tekken, like even Tifa Lockhart. A lot of people was basically clamoring to either pack Tifa in either one of those games, seems, because again, their style. So when it comes to like really setting the limit of it, it's in a sense, it's kind of hard to really determine, because like you want to have that moment. Like, it also is a good promotional tool, sadly to say it, at least, because again, you want to bring a spotlight to like certain franchises. Like, I don't know, if they should ever bring Shantae into Smash Brothers or anything else, again, that's a big boost to them. And of course, naturally, like, we bring Shovel Knight into Smash Brothers. But like, to actually like really determine who should come into the series, like, I don't know, for a hypothetical example, if they decide to like bring in an indie character to Smash, like with Hades of recent popularity fame, like, you think it like probably down the line they'll bring Hades into Smash Brothers just because again of his roguelike, or even like Enter the Gungeons, the bullets. It's just like there's a lot of things that can. It's the possibility that's so appealing, but at the same time, you just gotta have to know and set your expectations of like which games can enter. I mean, heck, as with recently as well, we had I wanted Travis Touchdown into Smash Bros. And we kind of got it in the Persona Mii costume, and I can understand why he wouldn't really be suited for Smash Bros. Because one, he is in a mature title. I mean, sure, there's Bayonetta, Samus Snake, and all that, sure, but in the context of it, I get it why Travis Touchdown couldn't be in Smash Bros. But again, we matched again in the Mii costume, so I'll take that again. So it's just that, again, setting that limit, it's just very interesting. It's just very hard to really nail down. Because, again, like Negan of Tekken, Geese Howard, like, you wouldn't never expect it because they're from different franchises. And I also look at Soul Calibur, they have, like, because, like, they crossed it with Samurai Showdown. Yes, that I remember that. But also, and yeah, with all the previous, like, Darth Vader and Yoda. So you really can't really, like, say to really limit them. Like, there's the possibility is there, but at the same time, it's really hard to nail down like who can come and who cannot. So it's really hard to nail down, in my opinion.
Yeah, like Tyler said, it's honestly a case of do they fit the game, and that's kind of where it gets a little crazy, because when you have something like Mortal Kombat, the real question is, do I believe that they can go up against these, you know, superpowered beings? Joker can, because that's what he deals with every day with the Justice League, among other heroes. A RoboCop, yeah, he's a freaking robot android thing. And of course, the Terminator is the Terminator. Spawn is a super, well, he's technically a superhero, but yeah, Spawn is a demon, technically, and he was also God for a period of time, so, like, yeah, he can go up against Raiden, no problem. And then, but then you have Rambo, and yeah, Rambo and Sonya Blade are both military and everything, but with Sonya, it just feels different, especially since she's using, you know, her all of her military tech, and Rambo is using a bow and arrow. Alright, and it's not even like Nightwolf, where he's using like his energy abilities with the bow and arrow or in his tomahawks and everything. So, it's a fine line. And then in like Soul Calibur, you know, they had, you know, a battle of souls and swords, and when you have someone like Geralt of Rivia from The Witcher show up, like, that one makes sense. You know, he's part magic, he's part warrior, and he totally fits in the game. Link, like Tyler said, that one totally fit. And then, but then you also had Spawn in the game, and you put in Heihachi, which is the version I got to play. And then in Tekken, the original Tekken 7, they had Akuma in the game. Just like, okay, let's put in Akuma, and all of a sudden he's got a connection to Heihachi's wife, because that makes sense. Okay? And it's like, there are just these lines that easily get blurred, and Smash Brothers is just as guilty of this. Like with Joker, I honestly will say that Joker kind of almost breaks the mold there. Minecraft Steve, obviously, but yes, you can also say that about Rob, Duck Hunt, Dog, and Game and Watch. And you know, it's just they have to be careful, because eventually they're gonna run out of ideas. Smash Brothers is a sole exception, because there are so many franchises that would love to be in this game, because this is a fighting game celebration done right, unlike all PlayStation All-Stars. Bam! That was a travesty. So, but
PlayStation
again,
All-Stars brought the BioShock Big Daddy in, though. That was kind of cool. Like, I'll give them credit for that. That's a pretty good get.
Just stop. Just stop.
It is. Stop. That's a pretty. BioShock was pretty huge at that time.
BioShock, but that's not the point. The point wasn't about the characters. It was about how it actually played, and it played.
No,
horribly.
I know. But we're talking about guest characters.
But that wasn't a guest character. That was a main roster character, and that's
no,
different.
No, it's a PlayStation All Stars, and PlayStation doesn't own BioShock as a guest character.
Anyway,
Sonic the Hedgehog is a guest character in Brawl.
Anyway, so It's just this really tricky thing, because it almost makes me wonder, like, where do you go after Minecraft Steve? Because you can't, obviously you can't go more cartoony than that. You know, I don't think there's another character out there like that. And so if you go right back to the serious characters, like, say, like a Terry Bogard, then it's like, okay, then why didn't you just announce him beforehand? And if it's Shantae, which I would love, and I still say that, that was the Smash Brothers logo in her reveal trailer, or the opening cutscene for Shantae 5.
You're like the one person on this show who doesn't reach. That was such a reach. That was an incredible reach.
It looked just like it. It's a circle with two planks that were aligned perfectly like the Smash Brothers logo.
If you haven't seen it, in the trailer for her new game, she looks out the window, and that window kind of looks like the Smash Bros.
It
logo.
Does.
Like, kind of.
It totally
like,
does.
It's pretty easy for a window to look like the Smash Bros. Logo.
Yeah, so, but anyway, like, if Shantae arrives, that makes sense, because, you know, she would fit in the mold, as would Shovel Knight if he had come in, or Zero, or certain other characters. And even with the human characters like Snake, Bayonetta, Ryu, and Ken, you don't always have to take it that, oh my gosh, these are like actual sized humans fighting, you know, ice climbers. You don't make that visual connection of this looks weird, because it's Smash Brothers. Versus like Mortal Kombat, where it's like Goro is a four-armed Mega Man, and you have Rambo who has guns. And it's like Goro could rip John Rambo to shreds, or Sub-Zero can freeze him without a second thought. And I know Rambo is an incredibly strong warrior in his own right, but that's a little different. And it would be the same thing if Ash came in from Evil Dead. Yes, Ash faces monsters, but they're not exactly the level of a Shokan or a Cryomancer or a Lightning God. You know, there's a difference. There's a level. And some of these games like kind of break it. Like, I was really not disappointed, but kind of put off when Ignis was put into Tekken 7, because he's a sword user. And this Tekken is about, like, pure fighting. And yes, I know Yoshimitsu is in there. But when, you know, Ignis had that move where he cooked up a recipe to make his sword stronger, and he went after Heihachi, I'm just like, well, how is this Tekken? Like, this is not Tekken at all. And I am waiting for Will to react so I can get him. But he's not responding to this very clever story I am doing. Where are you, Will?
Oh, I'm listening. Oh,
I've said Ignis twice. I even did the cooking recipe and you're not reacting. It's like, you... Never mind. Usually it's easier to get a rise out of Will. Maybe we should mention Travis Touchdown. But, like, that honestly put me off when Noctis got in there, because it's like, that doesn't work. That doesn't... Geese Howard worked. Geese Howard is a fighting game character. Like, that's why I'm fine with Terry being in Smash Brothers, because he is a fighting game character. But Noctis was a sword user who used teleportation, among other magic attacks, and that doesn't kind of fit in the Tekken mold. And, you know, there are things that can work and things that don't. And there are these lines that I really think they reach for, like a John Rambo or like a Minecraft Steve for Smash Brothers. And I don't know. I mean, obviously the line changes for every game. Like Injustice. Injustice can totally work with Mortal Kombat characters, because how is a Mortal Kombat character much different from a various DC Comics superhero? It's not that much of a difference, especially when they have superpowers, or even if they don't, like Johnny Cage or Sonya Blade. Okay, Johnny does have it, actually. But, you know, it's a line that shifts for every game, and that's okay, but I really fear for Mortal Kombat 12, because, like, who's left? Okay? Who's left? Forget who's next. Who's left?
Again, like, if anything else, it seems to be almost taken to the route of Pokemon, in the sense, like, they're pretty much doing everything from the book now. Like, they've made it to God, they made it to heaven. Like, what else are they going to be choosing next in terms of, like, which character they can choose? And, again, while the sky is definitely indeed the limit, and again, Ash Worms is still the rumored one, and of course, like, what other horror icons? Like, what, can we expect the Thing or to come in that? Or, I don't know, the Swamp Thing? I don't know. It's just, that's kind of the thing I just really like about, like, going to how many, pretty much ever since Smash Bros., every single series is trying to become that next big crossover. Because, like, again, with, like, within Injustice, we have the Ninja Turtles, and of course, a franchise. And, yeah, even to, like, Tekken, even Samurai Showdown, because, like, with Samurai Showdown, they had, like, the Knight from For Honor, which, like, wow, okay, I get it with the whole cultural clash, but For Honor? That was, like, completely left field for Samurai Showdown. It's, again, that's, like, oops, excuse me. It's just like, again, we're going to test that possibility. That's kind of why a lot of people just got so, like, really intrigued. Even, like, talking back to Brawl days, like, we never thought that Snake would be in there, because, like, that was, like, again, a third-party character come to Nintendo to play. It's like, well, who would have thought? And then, of course, naturally Sonic, which everybody was losing their minds.
Yeah, I lost my mind. Like, are you happy, Tyler? I lost my mind when Sonic came in, especially with that live and learn reveal trailer. Was so boss. Good. So boss.
Right. So everybody is just like, since then, it just like the sky is the limit. And we got like now with the future of crossover games, to say the least, it really is dependent on like, yeah, aside from like, yeah, as we discussed now already, is like, again, from style to genres to everything else in between, like, for who these developers choose to be in their games, like, it really is up to them, to say the least. Because again, Tech with Harada, including Negan, like, he is a fan of The Walking Dead. That's why I kind of put him in Tekken in the first place. And just with everything else, it's, yeah, because even with Sakurai himself, he said included Joker because he loved that Persona 5. So it's just really one definitely is dependent on the developers themselves, but at the same time, like as I said, it doesn't make sense and everything else in between. But who knows? There'll be always be that one small sliver percentage chance they could just add some completely like unexpected, like Minecraft Steve to be in such a game. And of course, like with Rambo, again, you can never know regarding to like who they're gonna put in these franchises. So again, it's really up to them to say the least.
I'm scared for Smash Brothers because, like, what's left? I mean, there's plenty left, obviously.
Oh,
But
there's
like,
so much
there's
left.
so much left. But like, how? Like, what's next after Minecraft Ski? I am scared now. I wasn't scared after Min Min. And okay, also, Death Battle. All right, they did their last, not this week's episode, but last week's episode was right before the Steve reveal, and so they were talking about who was going to be in the game, and they were talking. They honestly mentioned like Travis Touchdown and Geno and all of them, and I'm like laughing because again, I know that it's Steve, and it's just like I feel so bad because they're so passionate about these characters, and then one of them insulted Min Min, like they were like, "Oh, Min Min was like such a lame character." I'm like, "Shut your dang mouth." It's like, how dare you insult Min Min? It's like they were bashing arms. They were bashing arms so hard. I'm like, why? It was not a bad game. So,
No, yeah, it
no.
was fine. But here you are, being a hater, bashing Minecraft Steve. It's incredible. The hypocrisy, the double standards.
No, not a double standard. Arms is first party awesomeness, and Minecraft is Minecraft. Minecraft should just be called Money Grab.
Minecraft is the biggest game.
Exactly,
It's
because
the
they've
biggest
literally
game
put
of
it
all
on
time.
every single system possible
Because
to ensure
everybody
that they will
loves
increase
it.
their scale sales.
Because kids especially love it.
I know.
That is why.
I know. I'm not denying that it's number one. I am impressed that is number one, beating Tetris, which was of course a game that everybody played, including myself, in all of its variations. So I'm not bashing that's number one. I just bash that Minecraft Steve is in Smash Bros. Because I really, truly feel doesn't deserve it. It does not deserve, not over
It's
someone
just
like Ashante, like a Shovel Knight.
like you're naming these like fringe characters like they deserve it
Oh
more than the
right,
character from our biggest
Shantae's a
game of all
fringe
time.
character because she's been around
Shantae
for
is a
20
fringe character.
years. She's
Shantae
been
is a fringe character. Doesn't
who
mean she's
has
not a fringe
lasted for over
character.
20 years. She
Yeah,
is the
Shantae has a cult following.
Yeah. Yeah,
This
that's
doesn't make her
exactly the
not a
point.
fringe character. Oh
Rob is
my
a fringe
gosh.
character. Game and Watch is a fringe character.
Yeah,
You could argue
yes.
for Duck Hunt Dog despite the
Game,
fact that
but
he's an
Todd,
original.
Game & Watch has been around since 1980, so how's he a fringe character?
Exactly. But he was only on that one small
You're
set, and
saying
most
that.
gamers don't remember the Game and Watch system because they are too young to have gotten it or been conscious enough
And
to
most
play it.
gamers have never played a Shantae game. They're not that popular.
Yes, they are.
They're not.
How do you think Shantae 5 got made? The last one got made on Kickstarter just to continue the franchise. It blew up, sold well. It's not Shantae 5, and we're getting like the director's cut of Risky's Revenge. That doesn't happen unless you're popular.
It's not unpopular, but
Ugh.
it's not as I mean to say that Shantae deserves a spot over a
Yes.
Minecraft is
It's
it's just
100% accurate.
absurd,
No,
is what it
you're
is.
absurd.
It's absurd.
You're absurd. So, but like I fear 'cause like can they go any lower than Minecraft Steve? I want to say no. I really, really do, but I just don't know. And that's really scary to me. 'Cause
Yeah,
I no.
I don't know. I think Geno is probably coming in. I think we're gonna
But
get
that's not
Geno.
lower. That's an up. That's high. That's a fan request. That's a real fan
Yeah.
request.
Have you seen? And there's Steve was like mega requested. And just the Steve. You just gotta put. Let's put Steve aside. Let's not
Okay.
put the bar on Steve because we disagree on it immensely.
Clearly.
But where did they go next is a good question
Yes.
because.
Right.
This could have, like, Steve could have been the final character.
Yeah.
Whether you liked him or not, this Minecraft being huge, it is a big announcement. If you don't like it, totally fine. But it is a big announcement for sure. Much bigger than Min Min and Byleth. So where do they go from here? I feel like it has to be like a step down in terms of scope of announcement. And then at the very end, they're going to hit you with a haymaker. Like, Sora seems like an impossibility at this point, but he would probably be even more exciting to Smash Bros. Fans. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I do think we get at least one more first party.
Okay, let's wrap it up on this. On the scale of that's the wrong word. In the realm of Steve, Game & Watch, Duck Hunt, and all of them, what other character could come into Smash Brothers that would just shake things up to that level? Like an oddball, how is this going to work in a fighting game? Character, like who is left that could fit that mold?
The name that sprang to mind is Master Chief. That's the name that sprang.
You're not understanding the question. I'm talking about like Master Chief would work in a fighting game. Like I'm actually surprised that they haven't put him in a fight. They put Arbiter in Killer Instinct, which we also forgot to mention.
So all of these characters work in a fighting game because they're all in Smash Land of unique movesets. But saying a character that you wouldn't expect in a fight.
I'm talking like super oddball, like Game & Watch.
It would be like a ground-shaking announcement. So it's a major character that's like a really oddball pick.
Yeah, like Steve or Duck Hunt Dog. Like you, when you heard Duck Hunt Dog, it's like, wait a minute, why would Duck Hunt Dog be in Smash Brothers? That he was a side character in a shooting game, and the dog's not going to get a gun, and they made it work in Minecraft Steve with the blocks. Like, that kind of character, where it's oddball, like, outside the normal realm of a fighting game selection. Like, who comes to mind? Or does someone come to mind?
I mean, the only thing that pretty much would match that would, I wouldn't say it is an oddball, but definitely would fit that mold, would be Waluigi.
Oh, God. That would be the absolute worst.
Yes. Yes, we agree on Tyler. He would be the absolute worst.
Yeah, he would be the absolute worst. Do you have one in mind, Tyler?
And, like, aside from the whole Waluigi thing, like, if anything else, like, the one thing I obviously, like, a lot of people would find the oddball one is definitely would be Dante. Because again,
he
would fit though.
Dante fits. He's a fighting guy.
It's like a character from a big franchise that you're like, that has nothing to do with fighting games. Like Crash Bandicoot doesn't work because
Or Spyro. Yeah. Spyro works, but like I'm talking like if we had seen the trailer, like imagine Game & Watch didn't come in till Ultimate. We'd be like, how is Game & Watch going to work in Smash Brothers? Because it's two-dimensional. He's technically not a well-versed character, but they brought in all of his games to do like the 1-9. What, you got it?
I got one.
What?
Trevor from Grand Theft Auto.
Now you're just trolling.
No, that fits perfectly. Grand Theft Auto, like gigantic franchise. And it's the last thing you would think you would see in Smash Bros. I'm not saying I want it.
He's a violent character,
but it fits.
Who has guns. Again, he fits in a fighting game mold.
No, he doesn't fit in Super Smash Bros. Drunken racist.
Mistake is a super soldier,
shake it up.
And he doesn't fit. He has a freaking grenade launcher.
Yeah, but Snake, it fits totally. It's like a totally different character. Okay.
If anything else, if they somehow decide to collaborate with Grand Theft Auto with Rockstar of all things, that would be an interesting day. But
that's not right.
I'll give you
an example. I just thought of one that Tyler remembers the wonderful Grinch leak. Right, so remember one of the characters that they noted was going to be in it?
The Choir Kids.
The other one.
The Excitebike. Character
Mach Rider.
That's right, Mach Rider.
Yeah, so Mach Rider or Excitebike. Like if they brought that into the game, that would be totally atypical because it's like they're racing characters and not in the way that Captain Falcon is. So like, how would
Captain Falcon's in the game already.
But Captain Falcon is a mercenary bounty hunter. Like that is his story. So
Yeah, but also, yeah,
so for Excitebike, they would have to use the bike as a weapon, like in a way that's beyond what Wario does
they
with
could
his
just take
bike.
The, yeah, but they right. I disagree because there's so many examples of them using characters, and I think would they fit in Smash? Would you expect them in Smash Bros? No, but it wouldn't change the game. Like the original question you said, would it like shake things up in that way?
But
like,
I meant that in a way that again is atypical, like Rob. Like Rob isn't a key part of Nintendo history. But he wasn't in games that were fighting based, and they had to use like the gyroscope and lasers and give him technically rocket thrusters, which was not a part of his original game model, obviously. So like that was different. And then Duck Hunt Dog, they had to make up moves for Duck Hunt Dog to use the duck and the dog original in a combination versus the dog just holding up the duck after it's dead. Because you shot it! You killed the duck, you monsters! So, like, that's what I was saying. Not like a ground... If I was saying, like, groundbreaking shake-up characters just in general, then, yeah, Trevor or Master Chief, Marcus Fenix, Sly Cooper, you know, these games that were never on Nintendo platforms. Yes, I know there was a GTA game on the 3DS. But, like, those games, like, that would be a different kind of shake-up. I was just talking about, like, the super oddball Minecraft Steve kind of thing, where it's just like, really? We got Minecraft Steve? So
his moves make like so much sense. That's the thing. That's
why
I have
the disconnect. Now that you've seen them, but again, like we accept
Game
& Watch
now because
we played at him for three games.
Yeah, but I think that'd be true for every character. Four games, but I think it would be true for every character. Like once you have their moves, like you see what the moveset is, you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Like because you've seen it, it does quite literally make sense. Like Sakurai created it.
All right, well, let's just end it here because we're just moving in circles. So, all right, so with that, we're ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, last week we asked you if you were excited about Minecraft Steve being in Smash, if you loved it, thought it was fine, or were not happy about it, or if you had Fury. And 63% of you loved it, 31% said it's fine, and 6% had Fury. I think we know who the 6% are.
I don't know. I think that 6% is right. 100% of the time.
And 6% makes a compelling argument.
Yes, they do. Not that I
he,
voted.
Did you say he? Did you say he? Yes.
No, I said they. I said they. Re-listen to the tape. I said they. I said they. All right. So for this week's poll question, we're tying it directly into the conversation we just had. What fighting game franchise do you think has had the biggest reach in terms of extra characters? Tekken, Soul Calibur, Mortal Kombat, or Super Smash Bros.? I'm very curious to see what you all think on this one. And of course, let us know what you thought seeing the moves of Minecraft Steve and his Final Smash. What do you think on that? And are you sad that Travis Touchdown is only a Mii costume? I can already hear Will's what about Monster Hunter Rise? Does this help you from hearing their comments on how long the game's been in development? Does this make you want it more because you know they're putting a really quality title? What do you think about Hyrule Warriors? Are you now more excited for that based on the recent gameplay demo? What about Mortal Kombat? Are you actually okay with John Rambo being in the game? Please say no. But no, if it's fine if you like it. And of course, are you ready for the next Splatfest? And are you sticking with the original pick of Trick or Treat? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag!